Bob Berggren is going to share with us today. We tried a couple weeks ago when Manny was gone previously, and he's just been so busy with grandkids that wasn't able to be with us at that time. And I understand he might be a little tired this morning. Had 9 grandkids without parents this weekend, so from 3 to 11, so that'll keep anybody busy. So, if that's any more convenient.
Okay. Well, we'll try it either way. Is this okay, or? I talk with my hands, I'm sorry, so I don't know if I can hold a mic and just, my other problem is I move around, so I apologize if I get away. I would feel a lot better, you know, I am not a preacher. My granddad was, my uncles, all of them were. My dad was not, he was a farmer. it's one of those things where I see a lot of faces out here I recognize, and I've probably been on either the wrong sideline or the wrong bench most of my life, being at East Marshall for 34 years, but it was LDF when I came there, and we had several name changes down through the years. So, but this is something I do from time to time. We attend a little Bible church in Ferguson's where we go now. I grew up in an evangelical free church in Polk City. So that gives you a little of my background. But it's something I love to do. I get out. I get a chance to meet people that were foes at one time and hopefully are friends, you know, after we leave. So, but like John said, if I am a little distracted, this morning was the first morning that it was fairly quiet around the house. You get up, you know, grandkids would start coming in about 6:15, wanting to know if it's okay to get up yet. And I said, nope, not till at least 7. So the youngest one turned 3 in July, and the oldest one was 11 the 1st of August. And but we've had them since Thanksgiving, and then they went home yesterday. So I did have a little time to prepare here. So it's interesting how many times you go somewhere to speak like this, and you get the call and say, will you speak? And this was one thing when I was in college, I kind of made an agreement or promised God. I said, if you ask me to do something, I'll try it once. And I think I was here a couple years ago, and if it goes okay and they want me again, I'll come back. You know, if not, fine. The only thing I've never been asked back for is to sing, and if you hear it the first time, you'd understand why, because that does not happen, so I don't go there. But we do have, time after time, I'm just amazed at how things that are said in the Sunday school class, or today, it was the children's message, you were talking about anticipation, and my title is going to be Anticipation at Christmas. What are we anticipating? Now, some of us, you know, the anticipation may not be too good. I mean, remember my dad saying, now, he was one of 5 kids. His mom died when he was 3. Grandpa remarried about a year and a half later. There's 2 more, so there's 7 there. So he said a lot of times at Christmas, he said, I wasn't going to get a whole lot. I knew that. He said, and I always woke up, and in my sock, there was always coal from the, you know, that. So I wasn't anticipating that too much. But my sister growing up, she did not want Santa to come because she was scared that he was going to go ho, ho, ho in the middle of the night, you know, and scare her. Then I had a nephew that last year, we could not get him to go take a picture with Santa. Well, we finally found out the problem. He had convinced himself that he was going to be on the naughty list, and he didn't want anybody else to know about it. So he was making sure Mom didn't get too close to Santa to find out that his name was on the wrong list. But see, we anticipate things, right? And this is what I want to talk about. What are we anticipating now? Isn't this a great time of the year? I mean, you just think, we just got through with Thanksgiving, okay? Now we go into the Christmas season. As soon as Christmas is over, we got a new year, and everything kind of, we all set our resolutions that we keep for about a week or two and then go on with the rest of the year. But isn't this a time when we really anticipate? I mean, this week we just passed, we kind of took a day, set aside a day, to look back at what God's done for us and thanked him for that. The next morning we go out and we run over everybody on Black Friday trying to get to the best deals, right? I mean, how often will that happen in any other country? But as you think about it this morning with me, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 2. And there's a gentleman here that, to be honest with you, I haven't heard too many talks about. I don't like to call mine sermons, but, you know, I just talk with you on this. Simeon. Okay? If you look there in chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 25 through probably about 32. And I just want to look at a couple points about Simeon's life and hopefully give you something to, as you enter into the Christmas season, to start anticipating. Starting with verse 25 there. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Let's just pause for a moment of prayer before we get started. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time that we can come and look into your word. God, we just pray now that you'll quiet our hearts before thee. God, speak to each one of us individually. Speak to me as I look into this word. God, help that we will each individually get something that we can take from this word this morning to draw us closer to thee, to help us to reflect and to show forth your love for this world that's around us, wherever our mission field is, whatever you have us planning this week. God, we just commit this time to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, I taught high school math, the upper level math, for 38 years. And no matter how much I knew, I always felt comfortable that I probably knew more than people that were in my classes, okay? Now, I don't always feel that way when I'm in front of a group like this, okay? So, but I will, the one thing I always try to do, and I always try to give you a few things that you can remember once you leave here. Not that we're going to have a test or a quiz, you know, if you don't, but we'll just go there. I'm going to give you the three P's I think that Simeon lived here. There's three P's that I saw in this passage. The first P I want to talk about is the personality of Simeon. Simeon's personality there, or what he's about, really comes out to me there in verse 25. And it names four things. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, first of all, notice he was looking for the consolation of Israel. Now, if you reference that to other passages, in other words, that was the Messiah coming. Israel was looking for the Messiah at this time. And they were all looking for different reasons, right? Some thought that he would come in and overthrow the Roman government. Some thought that he was coming in, you know, as, I don't think anybody thought he was coming in as a baby, but, you know, he's going to come in as a triumphant king and take control. Okay? He was looking for this. Okay? But notice the words they used to describe him here. First of all, he was righteous. It says, Simeon, this man was righteous. Okay? Now, isn't that quite a thing? He was just. He was upright. He was, you know, in his mannerisms, he was just an upright person. There's a couple that, you know, stand out to me. One, right now, in my devotions this morning, I was reading in Daniel, and we were going through the part about going into the lion's den. You remember why he got thrown in the lion's den? Because he wasn't afraid to pray. But the thing that, again, stuck out to me as I looked at that passage there in chapter 6 of Daniel, the thing that really, that I think if I could have something that would mark my life, I would love to have that said about me. They couldn't find anything to accuse him of unless it was something that he had to do because the Word of God said so. Basically, they said they tried to find something wrong with Daniel in his job, how he carried out what he did for the king there. And the other guys that were working with him said, hey, after looking for a while, he said, we can't find a thing that he does wrong. Now, the only way we're going to get him and be able to accuse him is to do something contrary to what he believes. And so what did they do? They went and they kind of tricked the king, right? They said, okay, king, live forever. We think, and here, first of all, they lied. He said, all of us think that no prayer should be given now except to you for the next 30 days. Now, I don't think Daniel had agreed to that, but they said he had. You know, he said all the commissioners. You can check it out there in chapter 6. But see, he was a righteous man. That's the kind of man I think Simeon was here. And the only thing they did then was with Daniel, they went ahead. And Daniel went right to his rooftop and he prayed like he did every day, 3 times a day. Even though he knew that if he got caught, he was going to be thrown in the lion's den. Wouldn't that be the kind of person that would make a difference in this world today? He was a righteous man. Secondly, he was a devout. He showed reverence. Okay? Now, I'm not sure exactly how old Simeon was. Probably 20 years ago, I'd have said he was probably in his 60s. And now that I'm there, he's probably at least in his 80s or 90s, you know. Things move a little, you know, as you advance a little, right? But I think here, this devout. Now, when I hear that word, I'm thinking he's showing reverence, you know. I coached track for a lot of years. And one thing, you know, we always used a stopwatch. I often accused a few kids that we didn't have to have a stopwatch at the time and we needed a calendar, okay? But I think Simeon's life, being devout, was measured by a calendar, not a stopwatch. It was there month after month after month, year after year after year. And we all know some of those people. I remember growing up there in the Polk City Free Church. There were certain people that I knew they were going to be there. I remember Ray Redding. He was Sunday school teacher there for 50 years. And I can tell you exactly to this day where he sat. I'm guessing some of you sit in the same pews every Sunday too. But, you know, isn't that how we do it? But he was in that one spot, and he taught Sunday school there over 50 years. I thought, you know, what a testimony. You know, devout. That's what I mean, being measured by a calendar. Being measured by a calendar. Okay? I think also, I already alluded to the fact that he was looking forward. Okay? As I get a little older, you know, things have changed quite a bit, obviously. We've got the first TV in Polk City. It's still out in our garage. Excuse me, I think it might have been the second. It was the first or second TV. I don't think it works anymore, but it's there, okay? Dad had it put away in the little shed out there. Think of the things we have now. I mean, they're watching it on their, I don't know what they call them, smartphones. They're too smart for me, so, you know, they whatever they call them, you know, the kids have them, right? Okay? The things have changed. And sometimes, have any of us ever said, boy, I wish it was in the good old days? Okay? I don't think Simeon was doing that. He was looking forward to. You know, as I was with the grandkids this week, and I did anything like any normal red-blooded American would do, I went to the football game on Saturday and left them all with, or Friday, Iowa State game, and left them all with Vicky for a couple hours just to get, you know. That. But what we would do is, as you anticipate, the anticipation of them for Christmas, you know, they're getting excited. We went through Jolly Holiday Lights before we came home Thursday night, and as they saw the Christmas lights, and they got excited, and then, they, you know, they were talking about going home and putting up their, I think most of them put up their Christmas trees yesterday or some of that things. You know, the anticipation. See, they were looking forward. This is what Simeon was doing. I read somewhere, it says, don't let your rearview mirror be bigger than your windshield. Don't let your rearview mirror be bigger than your windshield. Yeah, that's a pretty good way of looking at things, right? Too many times we're looking back to see what has happened. I don't think God wants us that way. I think God wants us looking forward. What does he want us to do today? What does he want us to do tomorrow? You know, what does he want us to do? You know, what has happened, we can't change. Some of those things, we're not going to be able to go back and change them. No matter how bad we would love to, they just won't happen that way. Okay. Another thing that they said about him that I thought was kind of amazing, it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit didn't come till Pentecost in Acts 2, right? In the Old Testament and up till Acts, the Holy Spirit was always kind of the background. But the Holy Spirit here evidently was ministering to Simeon. And when it says was upon him, I take that as kind of a regular basis. He was not there just hit and miss. He was there. He had direct communion with God. Well, that's the kind of personality that Simeon had. And I think that's the kind of personality that God would like us to have as we leave this building this morning. The second P, I think, is in verse 26. It's the promise to Simeon. We had the personality of Simeon, now we have the promise to him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Okay. What a promise. You know, these, as they go back and, you know, several hundred years, I'm sure Simeon, I guess I'm not sure, but I'm going kind of, I believe that Simeon probably knew what Isaiah said and all the prophecies about the coming Messiah. And somehow this Holy Spirit had ministered to him and said, Simeon, you're not going to die until you actually see the Messiah. Okay? The thing was, I think Simeon took him at his word. I think Simeon had that hope. He was hope. In other words, he was confident expectation in something or someone. He was confident that the Messiah was coming. Okay? You know, how many times are we confident in promises? We know God's promised to care for us. We know God's promised to come again. We know all these promises. And it was interesting in Sunday school. They said sometimes our Sunday school answers and our real life answers don't really match up. You know, all of a sudden we know what we should say, but then when we leave here and we get out in the real world, sometimes they don't really match up. It's like, the drought, you know, we had this summer a little. There was an extreme drought in some of the western states here several years back, and they'd called for a prayer meeting at the local church there in this small community to pray for rain. They showed up for the meeting. Hundreds of people showed up for it. There was only one umbrella. Okay? There was only one umbrella brought. Now, see, to me, that's taking God's promise, you know, at his word. Now, does that mean every time we need rain, we're going to pray for it and it's going to happen that way? No. But we've got to have that thinking that God wants what's best for us. And he's going to provide it. It may not be exactly what we anticipated. It may not be exactly what we desired. But I do believe he will follow through and promise what he says. You know, how many times have we promised to do something and then something else came up and we couldn't do it? You know, as I look back, you know, I'm not supposed to be looking at that small view mirror, but, you know, as I look back at that, there's been times where I've promised, you know, especially one of my boys or one of my grandkids or Vicky, you know, I made a promise. All of a sudden something else came up and I couldn't fulfill that. Isn't it great knowing that if God makes a promise, he will never get too busy to fulfill it? He's always going to be able to fulfill his promises to us. And then the last P We have the proclamation by Simeon. Notice how Simeon, in verse 27, they bring the baby Jesus in, to fulfill the law, Simeon sees this, and the Spirit says, this is the one, this is the Messiah you've been waiting for. Here's the fulfillment of that promise. And can't you just see Simeon now reaching down and picking up this baby and holding him? And looking into his face, and what does he say there in verse 29? Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word. He was satisfied with that, wasn't he? Wasn't he satisfied with the fulfillment? It's interesting. You know, the only thing probably worse than Black Friday is December 26th and the return lines. You ever know? Consumer Reports last year stated that 20% of the people will get a gift they don't want. 20%. And those return lines on December 26th are long. I was visiting several years ago with a gentleman. And this was the week after Christmas. And we were sitting there and having a cup of coffee. And he was telling me, we were talking about what had happened at Christmas and things. And he said, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. He said, my wife, she brought me this gift. And she sat down and I opened it up. And what it was one of those racks you put out, and then the night as you go to bed that night, you put on it your clothes you're going to wear for the next day. I don't even know what they're called. You know what I'm saying, though? A clothes tree or something they set there. He said, and I opened it up, and he said, Bob, he said, I had no idea what it was. And he said, so, of course, if you knew this gentleman, and quite a few of you probably know him if I mention his name, I'll keep that just for his benefit right now. But he said, what is this? And that's probably just about how he said it, too. What is this? And so she explained it to him, and he said, I looked at it for a while, and I looked at it. And he says, what do I need that for? And the thing that got me, he then turned to me, and he says, Bob, you know she got upset at that? Okay. Well, I kind of had that feeling that she probably would, but you know, that was just me. But Simeon wasn't upset. Simeon wasn't upset because his gift, what he had been promised, God had fulfilled. And his proclamation was, I can go in peace. I am satisfied. I am satisfied. As you think about this, you know, kind of brief little talk, there's three questions I'm going to leave you with. I want you to think, these are questions, and you'll probably be like most of my classes, I won't get an answer, that's fine. But first thing I want you to think about as you lead up to Christmas, what are some of the ways you would like people to describe you? You know, as you live your life, how do you want people to remember you? How do you want them to describe you? I remember reading a story about a young boy that went out to some kind of camp in Colorado. I believe it was a 4-H camp, if I remember correctly. He got home about a week later, and his mom was sitting there, and they were talking around the table. And how'd it go, son? He said, oh, it went for great, Mom. He said, I don't even think some of the kids knew I was a Christian. He didn't want to ruffle any feathers. You know, he didn't want to step out there. But isn't that, you know, we kind of smile at that, but a lot of times, isn't that how we kind of live our lives? We don't want to ruffle any feathers out there. We don't want to take a stand. We don't want, you know, people to really know what we believe. Okay. Second question I'd like you to ask yourself. What's some of the promises God have given you? Okay? One thing I try to do every day is read Psalms 91. I don't know if you've ever read Psalms 91. to protection. When Dad was in World War II, he and Mom read it. Excuse me. Read it every day. Okay? That's a promise to our family. Okay? What's he given to you? What are some of the promises God's given you? And if he's given them to you, he's going to fulfill them. I'll bank on that. I'll bank on that. And the last question I'd like you to ask yourselves, who are you going to tell and what are you going to do about it? Simeon, he was satisfied. He was satisfied. Okay? He was satisfied, and he was not afraid to say, I can go in peace now. Things have been fulfilled. This is what I wanted done. God's done it for me. Praise God. The celebration, for my closing thought, I want you to think on this. Celebration that is marked by contentment of heart knowing him. That's going to be the true meaning of Christmas. It's a celebration that's marked by the contentment of your heart in knowing Christ. That's what Christmas should be all about. Let's close prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we could just look briefly at the life of Simeon. God, help us to live lives that people around us would realize that we are righteous, we are devout. We are looking for your return. And God, help us to stay in your word and find those promises that you have given to us. Help us to act on those. And God, then help us to proclaim that. Help us to tell people about what you've done for us, the many gifts that you have given us throughout the years. Help us to be a thankful people, not just one day a year, but God, we should be a thankful people every day. Now, God, we just want to commit this time to you, and we just want to pray now that it's, we leave, we pray that you'll just go with us our separate ways. Draw us closer to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.